Beneath the shifting sands of our culture lies a bedrock that is immovable and unchangeable. That bedrock is the Bible. The Bible gives direction to those running life's race, not just for this life, but for the life to come. Beginning today, we begin a series that tells you why you can trust this book with your life. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is called Seven Reasons Why the Bible is God's Word. Here to introduce our series is Dr. Lutzer with a message on When God Speaks.
Christianity claims to be a revealed religion. Now that stands in opposition to many other religions that are really naturalistic. There are prophets and gurus who have tried to peer into reality, who've had certain experiences, and they've written up their experiences, and many people have followed them. In ancient Rome and Greece, Egypt, Babylon, whether you're talking about Buddhism, Hinduism, they all have to do with human beings having insight into reality or perceived insight, and therefore they wrote oftentimes large volumes about what they have learned. Now there are some other religions that claim to be revealed. Joseph Smith claims that he had a revelation from an angel. And of course Muhammad claims to have had a revelation. But when you talk about revelations, what you need to do is to test them. You need to test them for consistency. Do they make sense? Does it hang together? You also have to test them for their truth value. Do they really explain reality? Is there something about the revelation that commends it to say, yes, this is a word from God? Now, I want you to know that Christianity is totally unique and different, because it not only says that there was one prophet who spoke for God, but many. There are at least 40 different authors of the book that we call the Bible, and they were all talking about the same issues: God, man, sin, redemption. And lo and behold, the Bible is unified on that subject. That alone would indicate that the Bible is a very special book. But it's also special because in the Bible, in Christianity, it is not just ideas that are communicated. Events become very important. You see, it isn't just that Jesus Christ taught us how to live. It is that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Therefore, Bethlehem and Jerusalem and all of those events become absolutely necessary for Christianity, and without them, everything that we believe would collapse. Now, if God has not spoken, let's just suppose that there is no word from God outside the universe. We have to live with some of the consequences. For example, we don't know what it is that awaits us after we die. That curtain is totally closed. We have no idea whether meaning can be found in this world. Bertrand Russell, you remember the atheist, he counseled us to be brave despite the fact that we would fail and die and be eternally obliterated. He still asked us to be courageous, at least. So that's the position that has to be taken if God has not spoken, because there's no way that we can penetrate the barrier to the great spirit world. We cannot find God simply by looking at a star, even though we may see that surely the stars were created by some creator. But the stars do not tell us what kind of a creator did the work. Maybe powerful, but not necessarily omnipotent. He may be loving, but then again, maybe he isn't loving. Just look at all of the earthquakes and the famines and the hurricanes in the world. So all of these mysteries become and remain as mysteries, with no hope that we can penetrate the barriers. Morality becomes a matter of personal preference. There can be no objective standard, no way by which we can judge whether men and women do right or wrong. But if God has spoken, if God has revealed himself with the precision of language in sentences and verbs and nouns and pronouns, then suddenly we have the privilege of being able to go behind the barrier, and some of the mysteries can become clear to us, and finally we can find out what God is like, and we can understand our relationship to him, and we can see whether there is meaning in the world, because it will all somehow now make sense. Well, as you know, this is the first message in a series of messages on seven reasons why I believe the Bible is God's Word. Now, we're not going to get to the reasons yet. That begins in the next message. This is an introductory message to simply whet our appetite and to traverse the terrain for us to see where we are going to be going, to help us to understand what some of us mean when we say the Bible is the Word of God. What do you mean by that? What do we mean by words such as inerrant, inerrant? And is it necessary to really believe that the Bible is without mistakes? Can't it have at least some little teensy weeny small mistakes? Why is it so important to believe that actually the words were superintended by God? That's what this message hopes to accomplish, to answer some of those questions before we actually get into the reasons why we believe the Bible is the Word of God. So take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. You'll notice that Peter is writing at a time when already the truths of Christianity were being criticized by at least some people. There were always those who said, you know, you're making it up. So I take 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And Peter says, we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of the Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Now, if you're in the habit of underlining your Bibles, I want you to underline three words that we have just read. First of all, go there to verse 19 and underline the word sure. You'll notice it says, so we have the prophetic word made more sure. What do we mean when we say the Bible is the Word of God? First of all, we say it is a sure word. It is dependable. This is a word from God. And Peter says in verse 16, we didn't follow cleverly devised tales that some people might think we've done, because we were there when it happened. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We were there on the Mount of Transfiguration. We heard the words that God said thundering from heaven. Now, I want you to notice that Peter says that what we have believed is true. Now, all throughout history, there are those who say, well, you know, these are very fancy fables. Later on in the series of messages, I hope to comment at least briefly on the so-called Jesus seminar, where scholars sit around and they say, well, I don't think Jesus said this. Well, you think so? Well, then you put a bead in this dish. You don't think that he said this, then you put a bead in this dish. And if it's a maybe, then you put a different colored bead in another dish. And that's known as the Jesus Seminar. Now, you have to understand what they are doing. We'll explain in a moment what they're doing. What they're trying to do is to say that Jesus was only a man. The miracles have to be stripped away. All of the sensational statements about his deity have to be put into the dish that says, no, he didn't say this. And all of that is really based on their subjective hunches as to whether or not Jesus said it. Now, notice what the text says. We didn't follow tales. By the way, notice this. Peter talks about the transfiguration. He says, we were with him there on the holy mountain. I read that a moment ago. And you know that Peter, James, and John were invited to do that. We were at the holy mountain about a year ago because we know that this is Mount of all things. Here, the name of the mountain didn't come to me, Mount Hermon, and I thought for sure Roy Schwartz would know it. And Roy, you have to stay awake when I preach, okay? You never know. Well, the experience was so great, we just had the name of the mountain blanked out of our memories. Now listen, folks, back to the text. Here was a historical event. They went to the top of that very, very high mountain. That was a physical event. But notice also it was tied to some theological truth. The text says that when they were up there, they heard the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That was a theological statement. What point am I trying to make? Simply this. There are many people who say, well, you know, the Bible's theology is inspired. We can trust all of those great truths that the Bible teaches, but it is not accurate in matters of history and science. It's got mistakes in it, in those areas. Well, my dear friend, are you following this? Because if that is true, that it has mistakes in science and history, why should we not also think that it has mistakes when it comes to theology? You can't take the Bible and you cannot separate its history from its theology, because most of the time its theology is history. And as we shall show in some future messages, you must either believe the whole thing or you must doubt the whole thing, but you can't pick and choose. You can't pick and choose.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part one of When God Speaks, the first of 8 messages in his series, 7 Reasons Why the Bible is God's Word. Tomorrow, more on why the Bible must be accepted or rejected as a unit. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's Word as the roadmap for your race of life. This series is now in print as 7 Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible, and this book can be yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. This is Dave McAllister. Tomorrow, more about why you can trust the Bible on our next edition of Running to Win.